And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
The monologue I'll be performing is from the play Fiddler on the Roof. Hey, Tommy! What you doing over there on the roof? What? Looks like we got a fiddler on the roof here. Tommy! Ah! Thank you.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
Darius. Here we are. We got lots to talk about. Hit the like button, subscribe, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. A little bit later, we will get into the Jontay Porter betting scandal, or that report that dropped last night. But we've got some games to talk about, and holy hell did we have some wedgies last night. 4 wedgies!
Wow.
In the association, Malachi Flynn got us started with a 3-pointer in New York City. Then, number 50 was Jalen Wilson of the Nets with the floater in Toronto. All right, good stuff. Gives you wings. Number 51, Rashawn Holmes on the tip pack. Mm-hmm. Offensive rebound there in Chicago.
He laughed.
And then, we weren't done. Number 52, Kyrie Irving, layup attempt in Utah. 4 wedgies last night. Gets us to 52 on the season. Look at the pace, Tass Mellis. And all of those wedgies, they came within, I want to say it was like a half hour of each other. 3 of them came like right away. Bang, bang, bang. It was tough to keep up. But then we had that Kyrie one a little bit later. There was another one in the Rockets-Blazers game, but it came right after the buzzer was called at the end of the third quarter. Mm. We couldn't count it. But wow. What a
so many wedgies. Everybody talks about points being up this season. Mm-hmm. Wedgies shall be up as well. The record that we've tracked over the last decade, 58. 2 of the last 3 years we've had 58. One was in a shorter type of season, which is a little bit
counting
odd.
The playoffs, of course.
Yeah, we do. We do. Because that's what
those
we
are
do.
Basketball games, yeah.
Those are games.
We used to get excited for 50, man.
Yeah, 50, nothing now.
Mm-hmm. Nothing now.
No.
60's the new 50.
60's the new 50. Now we're striving.
It.
Yeah,
hopefully we hit
it.
It
is the year.
Wow, that was fun. All right. We got a new segment here on today's show. It's called the What Scale. That's right. The What Scale. You guys are going to react to how shocked or surprised you were to a particular game or achievement from last night using the very sophisticated scale of whats. What do I mean by that? Well, if you're mildly surprised, that's maybe a tiny what. Almost like a, wow. You know, like a, I didn't know that. Or maybe you're absolutely flabbergasted. You're dropping probably 5 Little John-worthy type whats. To obviously illustrate how shocked or surprised you were. Okay? It's pretty straightforward. First one. How many whats are you dropping between 1 and 5 on the Hawks? Ka-ka! Rallying from a 30-point deficit to defeat the Boston Celtics. It was here in Atlanta. Boston was rolling.
Yes.
Hawks were down 30.
Yes.
And they come back and win this game in regulation. How many whats, Tass?
I didn't know the number was more required. I thought it was the type of what.
Okay.
The Little John, I think, is fitting. Whether it's 5 or whether it's just a what?
One that, big one?
Yeah. That is a surprise. It surprised the Celtics because they were up 30 and then they let the foot off the pedal there.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. They were up. They had their fans, a lot of them here in Atlanta, cheering for them, let's be quite honest. Mm-hmm. And this is the biggest comeback in Atlanta Hawks history. Just like that. The Celtics fans cheering them on. They went into the locker room. They chilled out. And then the third quarter, The Hawks went on that run. It was a 19-4 run. He had Veet Krejci. Veet, let's do this thing fast. 13 points in the quarter for himself. We had Lil Boozy, rapper Lil Boozy, who was watching courtside, get down, lie down. Yes. He literally lie down and fall down because he was saying, what is happening here? Maybe things were a little boozy for a lot of people in the stands there. Everybody was partying as Bogdan Bogdanovic was going off. Bruno Fernando was going off. Everybody was going off. And then early on in the fourth quarter, the Hawks finally took a lead. When Wesley Matthews gave them the lead, Trae Young off the bench, you got to like the bow and arrow. He pulled out the arrow from his back. That's the Wesley Matthews cheer. You don't really see Wesley Matthews this season. You don't.
It's true.
He hasn't played a lot. The three to bring them forward, and they did it the rest of the way. DeAndre Hunter sealed it there at the end. This was astonishing. This was just it's surprising.
Yeah.
That second half was very surprising.
Five Watts, for sure. Or one big Little John Watt, however you want to determine it.
I also judged mine by quality of what.
Okay.
And I went Little John Watt as well, and I'm giving DeAndre Hunter the what? Shot of the year.
Yeah.
Taking the three off an offensive rebound. There's, maybe like 7 seconds left when he shot it. Hawks were up. Didn't need to shoot it at all, but he caught it, shot it right in rhythm like he was Robert Horry back in the day, knocked it down. Game over. Yeah, Veet was going crazy last night. That was fun to watch. They got a College Park shout out after the game. The defensive incubator, Coach Ryan Schmidt down there. We love this guy. So it's nice to see Veet playing well. Great stuff for like all of these random Hawks role players, like Garrison Matthews hit big shots. Like you mentioned, Wes Matthews was playing and playing some really solid defense. But what it comes back to for me is that the Celtics like can't lose a normal game. You know, they had an 11 game win streak, then they blew a lead against the Cleveland Cavaliers in that 12th game. They came into this one with a 9 game win streak, blew a 30 point lead against the Hawks. They were just not nearly as deliberate in the second half, trying to get good offense. Only 4 assists for the Celtics in the second half. They had 17 in the first half, and though there was a huge run in the third, I thought it started at the end of halftime. It's like a 9-0 run for the Hawks where they kind of swung the momentum in their favor. And once it was in their favor, the Celtics just couldn't really get it back. So, you know, this team is dominating. They have literally nothing to play for right now. Right. So a bummer loss, but no big deal. Though I did not like Jaylen Brown dribbling literally 23 times on the last possession.
Yeah, that was...
Could have sped it up a little.
That was rough. Yeah, that was, DeJounte Murray had put the Hawks ahead, and then, that's what the Celtics were coming up with there.
Yeah. And that's a Celtic thing a little bit with those huge possessions.
Yep.
Don't start it early enough.
Yeah, and have Tatum dribble the hell out of the ball. This one was Brown dribbling the hell out of the ball.
Do something besides
and
dribble.
And just getting nowhere. Was this Clint Capella's best game this season? Guy was like invigorated last night. Like that was a huge rebound to kick it out to Hunter, who again maybe shouldn't have shot it, but it was in rhythm. And you love the 2 for $1 there, TK. But that was a big board. I just thought he was like playing with energy last night, and he has looked like there's injuries and he's in and out of the lineup at times, but that was like Capella, when he's locked in, he can be a bit of a game changer at the five. But good call on the end of the second quarter where the Hawks got to sort of get back in the game. Celtics were like throwing the ball away on inbounds, after a score. Like Porzingis just chucked it away once, and Jaylen Brown wasn't ready, and like the Hawks scored off of that. It was like sloppy. Like, yeah, they're up huge. You get it. Like, I don't think people are freaking out here really today. The Celtics are going to win maybe 65 games and be like well clear of the number 2 seed in the entire NBA. But when they lose, they generally give up big.
It always looks ridiculous, man.
It looks ridiculous. They've had 15 games where they've lost all season. They've blown double-digit leads in more than half of those.
That's cool.
You know, and like, look, an 11-point blown lead is a lot different than a 30-point blown lead. That's only happened 10 times now in NBA history. A team that was up 30 went on to lose the game. So this is very, very rare because...
Those all happened to the Celtics this year?
No, not all of them to the Celtics. The biggest ever, Sam Quinn at CBS Sports, still biggest blown lead. Go ahead.
Sacramento Kings, Chicago Bulls.
Well, I have it here as the 96-97 Nuggets allowed the Jazz to turn a 36-point deficit into a 4-point victory.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
So a big one, according to Sam Quinn there. But 30, pretty damn close too.
Carl and John, they were doing it.
I was happy I stopped from tweeting last night. I almost tweeted, thank God I didn't go down to this game when they were up 30. As I thought about it, I was like, like you said, Boston fans are always out there in the fortress. Some good energy in the building, and I almost tweeted it. Would have come back to bite me in the ass because I should have went. What a comeback.
I had the same on my calendar. I was going, but then we're having family come in town, so I'm going Thursday. They play the Celtics again.
That's right.
Oh, I have a feeling this one is going to be the other way. I think the Celtics will come out and blow them out on Thursday, and it'll be a boring game for me.
The Celtics, I believe, are just staying here in Atlanta. I think they, like you
Fun
said,
city,
they,
man.
They play here on Thursday, but the Hawks play another team in between these games, which is a little weird. I think that maybe the Hawks play tonight or Wednesday. One of them will be a back-to-back situation, but yeah, just strange.
These guys
just
are
hanging
be
out.
Sneezing like crazy on Thursday.
The pollen's going to take them down, man.
They'll look good with their green jerseys, though.
That's right. Okay, so a lot of big what or many whats on that on the what scale there. Next one. Suns suffer unacceptable loss. Those are Frank Vogel's words. Versus the Wembley-less Suns. Excuse me, Spurs. The Wembley-less Spurs. That makes more sense. Suns losing to San Antonio. 1 to 5 watts. How many are you going here?
A solid 3 watts.
Okay.
The Suns have lost 3 of 4 games versus the Spurs this season. And I think it does feel like that time of year where a lot of teams have absolutely nothing to lose, and they gain confidence by teams that don't put the foot on the pedal. And that's what happened in this game. They got more confident. You saw Jeremy Sochan out there, 26 points, a career-high 18 boards, and hit the three to really seal it at the end of this game when he hasn't had an incredible season shooting the ball. But a lot of the shots were open, and the Phoenix Suns, they're a pretty good team against plus 500 teams, and that's good for them because going into the last stretch here, last 10 games, they've got the toughest schedule of anybody out there. The average of their opponent is 648, excuse me. Their strength schedule is tough. That being said, I think they're going to get up for it a little bit. And I know that's just it's an easy excuse here against the San Antonio Spurs. I'm giving them an excuse. You see it. We're going to get to a lot of games where NBA teams just, they weren't ready last night. And unfortunately, it was an extremely weird night. Unfortunately, they had a couple of injuries. That obviously is more important down the stretch here. Yusuf Nurkić left this game with a sprained ankle. They need that guy going down the stretch. And Beal left the game with a hurt right ring finger. Got it caught in a jersey, although he should be back. But the Nurkić one, I'm a little concerned about. The Suns, it's a tough stretch, and where they are in the standings is really important. But 3 of 4 to the Spurs, that says something to me about the Phoenix Suns. And Vogel's right. They gave it up. They didn't play hard enough.
What do you think? How many whats?
I would go probably 3 watts as well, but this is the reason the Suns are in the 8th seed, because they don't get up for games against lesser opponents. We've been talking about the Pelicans so much lately. They're up in 4th because they see a bad team on the schedule, and they're up by 20 at halftime, and they're able to hang on to it afterwards. That being said, Suns still almost stole this one because the Spurs were going crazy, I thought. Yep. In the last 5 minutes, San Antonio went 2 for 8 from the field, missed 2 free throws, and had 2 turnovers. Then Kevin Durant and Devin Booker both had a chance to win it. For Phoenix, you're guessing, like, in the grand scheme of things, then when it comes down to a game-winning three-pointer, KD and Booker are going to hit him and Jeremy Sochan isn't, but that's not how it went last night. I was saying a big-time what, helping off Sochan on the three. He was 0 for 6 from three up to that point, but the clock was ticking down on Devin Vassell. He would have had to get up a tough mid-range jumper, which you're probably living with, but Royce O'Neal came down, I thought, way too early to cut him off at the nail. Easy three for Sochan, who had the confidence because they've been playing well the entire night.
Yeah, this loss could very likely come back to bite them in the ass.
Maybe,
moving forward here in the playoff standings. Like, this could keep them here in a play-in position, the Suns, instead of maybe a 6 seed with some of the other results from last night. And yeah, even just the 3 losses to San Antonio. Let's make that very clear. They've lost 3 times to the Spurs, who are one of the worst teams in the league. Brutal. Brutal stuff. And it's even made worse with all those injuries to some of their main guys. That was bad. I think you guys are in the right spot there. 3 to 4 watts. Just because there was so much of these type of weird, like, what? They lost to who and how? And ugh. But does, you see the Suns like this, and it's like, I want to get excited for them in a potential playoff series, and we've talked about them maybe being the best matchup against the Nuggets if they were to run into them, but then you get these performances where they just, like, don't give a damn for way too long, and, like, it's tough to take them seriously, at least this season. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, hopefully they do, but brutal, brutal loss. Moving on to an achievement last night. Domantas Sabonis sets the post-merger double-double streak in a Kings win. Did this against Philly. He now stands alone with the longest streak of double-doubles since the NBA-ABA merger in 76 77. He's got 54 of these straight. How many whats, TK, does this deserve?
I'm going Noriega Super Thug. What? He's got to say what at least 53 times in that, I imagine, right?
Probably. Yeah.
Probably more.
More.
I mean, he repeats it quite a few times in the chorus, but yeah, I mean, DeMontis Sabonis doing Moses Malone numbers? Come on, that's pretty cool. Anytime you're on the boards with like a Moses or a Wilt Chamberlain, you're living the life. This was an easy one, I thought, for Sabonis. He had yet another triple-double, his 25th of the season, which also leads the league. He was going up against Mo Bamba and Paul Reed. So easy boarding for Sabonis. I looked it up. He did have an 8-rebound game in January, but guess what? He had 13 assists in that game. So he was able to technically extend the streak because it doesn't matter what those doubles are doubling.
I was so confused by that when I saw that 8-rebound game. How did he do this? He hasn't had a lack of a double-double since November. Hold on a second. All these stat people are just looking over that one. But no, it was true. It was a 13-assist game. It's nice to give this guy a little bit of respect.
It was cool the crowd did that.
Give a hand for Marcus.
Yeah.
Classic hand for Marcus. It was awesome. It was awesome for Kevin Love to be on Twitter and appreciate DeMontis Sabonis, because this guy is a little bit underappreciated. Guilty for me as well. Was it last year? It was 2 years ago when they made the trade, DeMontis for Tyrese Haliburton. I thought, man, the Pacers did it. They absolutely did it. But DeMontis has been great, and I know people give him a little guff because of what happened in the playoffs against Kevon Looney in that series. I guess it was last season. Am I right? The last season?
No, you had it right.
But they didn't make the playoffs
2 years ago.
Last year was the only playoffs. Yeah. Right. Anyway, they all just blend together. But DeMontis Sabonis deserved an all-star appearance. There is no doubt.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's damn good. He just doesn't get the recognition. And a little bit of juicy recognition. Only three centers have recorded 25 triple-doubles in a season. Yeah, it's Wilt, Mr. MVP that season, Jokic, and now DeMontis Sabonis. That's cool stuff. Very cool stuff for him.
He's averaging 20 points per game, 13.7 boards, and 8.3 assists for the season. He's on pace to join Wilt as the only players to have those numbers, 20, 13, and 8. You know, it's a lot of rebounds, a little more than maybe Jokic had in his dominant years there and continues to have in his dominant years. That's insane. It's absolutely overlooked. It is. It's because he's in Sacramento. It's because he's, you know, sort of this quiet, sort of humble superstar. You know, this is just like sort of workman-like stuff here. It's just go out there and give me 20 and 13 every night. But I love the playmaking. You know, we talk about it when we talk about him. He's awesome. And to be now, you know, joining that list of guys that have only done this longer than Sabonis, and this is pre-merger, it's Wilt Chamberlain who did it 7 times. It's Elvin Hayes who did it twice. It's Elgin Baylor, and it's Walt Bellamy. And now Sabonis getting up to that streak, and I don't see why it won't continue, barring some injury that knocks him out of a game early here. What could he get it up to? It's obviously into the 60s, I guess, if he plays on. And that's another part. It's like, he's an Iron Man.
Yeah,
and he plays through injuries, and he's always out there putting up these numbers. So, you know, you got to respect that as well. So, Noriega Watts, I hadn't thought about that song in a long time, man.
If Control F is to be believed, more than 300 watts.
Wow, that's a lot of watts.
He's going watt heavy.
Oh, jeez.
As for Sabonis, the biggest issues he's going to have continuing his streak throughout the season. Thursday, April 4th, they play the Knicks. They're a pretty good rebounding team. And then I would say Thursday, April 11th, a week after that, they got the Pelicans, another team with some bigs out there, at least. But otherwise, it's like Mavericks, Jazz, Clippers, Celtics, Nets, Thunder, Suns, Blazers. He can do it.
Yep. He can. And he definitely needs to for this team because he is by far their number one rebounder. And they lack that. They lack the size a little bit. But all that being said, they are playing a different type of defense recently. They're hot in the month of March. They've had 8 straight games here holding their opponent to under 110. That's not Kings-like, but 4 of those 8, even under 100 points. And they're the month of March is... It's ridiculous, really, when you look at it. Since the Keon Ellis insertion into the starting lineup, they're 3rd in defense in March. They're playing harder, and I can't wait. I can't wait for a playoff appearance by the Sacramento Kings team because they need that, and they have sort of been a middle-of-the-road type of defense team, but they are looking different. Hopefully that carries over into the postseason.
I've seen some notable Kings fans say they believe in their defense more than their offense at this point. You would never think you'd say that about the Sacramento Kings. But yeah, especially with Keon Ellis in there, they're locked in. All right, let's keep it going. Tass, you start us off here. How many what's on Dante DiVincenzo setting the Knicks single-game three-point record, crushing the Pistons? He hit 11 of his 20 three-point attempts in 41 minutes. Monty Williams was not happy about all this, but how many what's?
Give me that Noriega. I'll take 300. It deserves 300.
At least 20, I guess. Maybe.
We sat here a couple of years ago when he was involved in that four-team deal right before the trade deadline, and we thought, wow, what is Dante DiVincenzo going to become in this league? And he went to the Warriors. Steph Curry apparently taught him how to get into that mentality of shooting those threes and just being better at it. But even him going into this year where he left for the New York Knicks, he didn't expect it. Steph Curry literally didn't expect it. Great article on The Athletic about that. And great attitude and persona with this New York Knicks team, because DiVincenzo did that post game after hitting those 11 threes, and he was asked about it, and he said, I would have hit more if Jalen Brunson just passed me the freaking ball a little bit more. That isn't a poke at Jalen Brunson. That's just, they love each other on this team. But by far, he's made the most threes of his career. He shoots 8 per game. That's by far the highest of his career, because he's just locked into that. And it overshadows all the negative things about the New York Knicks, which I think are worries. Julius Randle still being out. OG Anunoby now out. Missed 4 games since he's resting that elbow that he came back from. So those are worries. But DiVincenzo has been given the green light on this team to shoot threes, and it's important to just give space to Jalen Brunson. You need a shooting guard who can absolutely shoot, and that's why he'll always start over Josh Hart, IMO. That's the important part for this offense.
Yeah, Pistons coach Monty Williams after the game said, quote, I don't care about their team at all. I couldn't care less. Those guys, the way they got those threes, I don't want to be a part of that story. Sort of alluding to, you know, there was a lot of threes taken in the fourth quarter from DiVincenzo, and, you know, sort of gunning for the record a little bit. Josh Hart, though, perfect response. If he didn't want to be a part of that story, he should have told his guys to defend better. What else is there to say? We got a guy that's hot. We're going to try and find the guy that's hot. End quote. That's Josh Hart. So how many what's on DiVincenzo setting the record? I think he was tied with, the record was J.R. Smith and Evan Fournier with 10 made threes. Yeah.
That's why for me this gets the J.R. Smith squinting. What? That should be J.R. Smith's record, man. He was 10 for 22, and I remember when he took those 22 threes, it was like, what? Somebody's taking 22 threes? Now we got an accountant doing it in college games? It's not even a big deal, but yeah. DiVincenzo, good stuff. He's still 7 shy of Evan Fournier's season record. That's pretty weird that he's the all-time season record for holder for the Knicks. DiVincenzo has 234. I think it's 241 for Fournier. And yeah, 8 attempts is nice, but he's 11-plus attempts since the All-Star break. He's letting it fly even more right now while still shooting 40%. Great stuff, and exactly what the Knicks need from that spot. Playing alongside Brunson, who wants to get inside, Randall, who will be inside whenever. So if OG is able to get healthy and stay on the court throughout the playoffs, they got two guys who are great shooters who are going to shoot it every time they are open.
I can't believe, looking at DiVincenzo's numbers this season, it's been quiet, I guess, because of Brunson, but 6 games with 30 points or more.
Yeah.
It's a little surprising.
It's a ton.
with what Brunson demands in terms of shots, what Randall demands in terms of shots, yeah, that's a surprising number.
It is insane how great his year has been here. Like, he's doing, like, in terms of volume and efficiency at the three-point shot, like, he's doing, like, Curry and Clay-like things in terms of just pure numbers that he's putting up here. And you would never have thought that, like, obviously a couple of years ago, but locked in. Final one here. We got to start with Trey on how many what's this deserves, or what type of what. I don't know what this has turned into here. The Wizards beat the Bulls 107-105. For a season high, 3rd straight win for Washington. TK, how many what's?
Just one exasperated what? These Bulls, they just refuse to be back, man.
They can't. They'll never be back.
They'll never be back. 4 games under 500 right now. That means they got to go 7-3 the last 10 games here. I think they're not back this season, but who knows? It's the Bulls' first 3-game losing streak since November. Cool story. And it's also the Wizards' first 3-game win streak of the season.
Yeah.
Throw them a nut-laden pizza party. 5 Rashawn Holmes out there, I thought, last night. He went for 14 points, 15 boards, a couple assists, a steal, and a block. He was playing harder than literally anybody. Jared Butler, is that the guy's name?
That's yeah, that was right, the guy yeah. that got dropped assists. By Jalen Green, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. He had 13 assists off the bench, and this is going to get a little weird. Two Vucevic's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it happened.
Yeah.
We got Nikola Vucevic, obviously, for the Bulls. Tristan Vucevic made his, he's started playing for the Wizards now, and they shared the court together, which the Bulls got very, very excited about. Adam Amin and Stacey King, because they've had a longtime sponsor on Bulls broadcast, Nationwide Insurance agent Jeff Vucevic. Nationwide is on your side. The Golden Pipes. That was an exciting moment there in the fourth quarter when those two were on the court together, man. That was cool.
Yeah. Corey Kispert had 12 rebounds in this game for the Wizards, too. And they cool. won three straight. And JD, throw it up here, because this was a big win for me. Remember a week and a half ago when I said, it was over, I'm done. The Wizards are going to be the worst. Well, I did the reverse jinx. It worked perfectly because now the Wizards are two games ahead of the Pistons after this three-game win streak. You know, I think the Hornets are fine. I think TK's fine, but Tass is in trouble now.
Yes, a three-game win streak? Of course I'm in trouble. So that gave me a what? I couldn't believe that the Wizards had their first three-game win streak and the Vucevic sighting. I mean, I remember talking about him after he got drafted last year. He's a second-round draft pick of the Washington Wizards, but he was a stash guy.
Mm.
He's going to be on partisan in Europe, and that's who he played for this season. And the Wizards say, come on over here. In late March, that's when they got him. They brought him over, and that was his first shot was a nailed three-pointer last night of his career. It was just his second game. And I remember reading that draft report. It was a draft combine report by Ian Miller. That guy hits spot threes, attacks closeouts, he makes jumpers off the dribble. I don't know, Vucevic could be better than Vucevic. That's all I'm saying. Okay, that's too much. That's way too much.
Sounds like a young Vuce, though.
Yeah, it does sound like a young Vuce. Vucevic, can't wait to see that
guy. I know, that is a nightmare. Yeah, man. I'm going to screw that up so many times. I'm not looking forward to it. Also, in this game, I was sort of, like, I was happy the Wizards win because I won another one in the Nut Dust Bowl standings ahead of Tass and his Pistons, but I also wanted DeMar DeRozan to hit that three-pointer at the end.
Yeah.
That wasn't far off.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like half court because the Wizards had hit their free throws, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And then the Bulls had no timeout to advance it, so they had just chuck it in, had some seconds to work with, and DeRozan let it fly basically from half, and oh my God, it almost went.
He shot it with about 2 seconds left as well. Yeah. Like, he could have taken another dribble and gotten closer, but there was a defender there. He's like, it's going to be a long shot anyways, so I thought it was better to shoot it early and get a clean look, and it at least hit the back rim.
So the Bulls have lost three straight, like you said. They're only 1.5 up now on Atlanta for the ninth seed in the Eastern Conference. I mean, we think they're playing each other. It's just who's going to be hosting that game. We thought it was like a week ago. It was like, oh, the Bulls definitely will be. They still might. They hold the tiebreaker, so that's big. Hawks got to leap them in the standings to actually host a game here in Atlanta.
And they play on April 1st in Chicago.
Right, a big game in terms of standings, absolutely. Be a big one. I was just going to ask you, this is a weird question, because I think I know your answer, but like, I mean, we live in Atlanta. Would you prefer to go see your Bulls play in the play-in here in Atlanta in a 9-10 matchup, or would you rather the Bulls keep the ninth seed because, you know, maybe their chances to win are better?
Kylian Mbappe, I will be there no matter what. If the Bulls are playing here in Atlanta, I'm there like underwear.
But you're going to go fly home to Chicago?
No. Okay. I will not be there no matter what for that one.
It's the opposite of that.
I will be there depending on where the game is.
All right. So you're actually hoping now Atlanta jumps them. I got you.
That's true.
That's it for the what scale. We'll find out if that's a segment we keep. But
what?
There was a bunch of other games last night. I'm not going to go through them all. The Rockets did extend their win streak to 9 straight. A bunch of other things happening. Any of them that you want to touch on, Tass, or what? Deserve? Nope.
Like Frank Vogel said about the Pacers, he was worried about his... I'm not the Pacers. I got Frank Vogel's the coach of the Pacers again. Frank Vogel for the Phoenix Suns. Similarly, it's because I just saw the word Pacers because they beat the Los Angeles Clippers. Similarly, Ty Lue sat at the press conference afterwards and he said, do we have an identity? Yeah, we're soft right now.
Yeah,
and that's worrisome for the Los Angeles Clippers. They don't have an identity because they're just not trying as hard. They just are ready for the postseason. It feels like teams are just scoring on them pretty easily. And, yeah, we get the James Harden versus Philadelphia in Philadelphia on Wednesday to try and right that a little bit. But they have not looked strong recently. So that one stands out.
Yeah.
And also, Hornets-Cavaliers, Marcus Morris was signed there to be a just a strong – willed guy in the postseason, in the locker room. For a 10-day, he had a 10-day. Here, a week in, he drops Nick Richards with an elbow.
Yeah,
because he said the no-dunk rule was prominent. I wonder, they keep him around after the 10-day? I mean, he's trying to set the tone for the Cavaliers, which, I mean, I guess is helpful. But it's like we're 10 years ago where guys, you know, banged each other with elbows like that.
It was excessive. A little bit more so, yeah.
Sure. It worked, though.
Yeah, it worked. And so
post-game, he said, I never really want to get ejected from a game. I still want to help my team, but I'm just happy we responded really well. So if I got to lay somebody out every game and we're going to respond like that, then so be it.
That's why they're keeping him around. That's why he signed him.
He's literally like, if we're going to keep winning, I'll knock a guy out every game. So yeah, they're going to sign him again.
Dude,
yeah.
You're playing the Hornets, man. You were going to win the game regardless, man.
But, no, that was the game changer.
Yeah, I guess so. Any notes from any of those other games?
Tass hit him on the ones I was interested in. Marcus Morris and then the Clippers. Clippers have lost 6 of 9. The Pelicans just passed them in the standing. And yeah, Ty Lue called them soft, which I guess, I don't know. Is that better or worse than Paul George saying they have no identity? Because Ty Lue was like, yeah, we do have an identity. It's soft, if you want to call us that. And they just don't look the same. Basically, they went 26-5, then they went on their long road trip during the Grammys. And since they've been back, it's like, get us to the playoffs at this point. And it kind of feels like maybe the no load management has caught up to these Clippers. They played really hard through the first 2/3 of the season, and now they're just trying to maintain their seed and maintain their bodies to get to the playoffs sort of healthy.
Right.
Yes. If you're looking at the standings as of today, Nuggets in the number one seed. They're one game clear of OKC, who's 2. Then you got the Wolves. Then it is Pelicans 4, Clippers 5. Kings are up to 6th. Dallas is 7th. They did win last night. Suns have fallen to 8th. And then it's Lakers, Warriors, Rockets in the 9, 10, 11. And the Rockets are a half game back here of Golden State. And then, notes in the Eastern Conference. The Pacers are have put together a decent little stretch here, and they're in the 6th seed. Magic, obviously, 5th. Knicks, 4th. And then Miami, Philly, Chicago, Atlanta are in the play-in, and Nets are not catching anyone there. So we know the teams. We know the 10 best teams in the Eastern Conference, just figuring out who's going to play who. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we will get into the NBA investigating Raptors' Jonte Porter for betting irregularities. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. Let's get into a little Is This News? We'll lead with quite the headline that was making the rounds last night from The Athletic. The NBA investigating Raptors' Jonte Porter for betting irregularities. Let me give you just the quick rundown of this story. So Raptors forward, Jonte Porter, brother of Michael Porter Jr., he's under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months. At issue are prop bets involving Porter from games on January 26th and March 20th. And in both those games, there was like this increased betting interest on the unders for Jonte Porter's lines, for his props. In both games, Porter played very few minutes before leaving. January 26th, he played 4 minutes before leaving the game because of what the Raptors said was a re-aggravation of an eye injury he'd suffered 4 days earlier in a game. And then on March 20th, Porter played just 3 minutes before leaving the game because of what the Raptors said was an illness. So this is, I mean, a lot of us, we expected this. We didn't expect it from Jonte Porter, maybe, but we figured this will be coming, this sort of headline. Is this news? I assume you believe it is.
It is absolutely news. Something like this was bound to happen, that either a person who plays in the NBA bet on a game, or he was making sure someone's bets that he knew were being placed were cashing out. Now, an investigation is being done.
It's true.
That is a positive, all in all. And that made me do an investigation. When I saw these exact things that were said, I got to the video. I wanted to see what he did in these games, because the ESPN was the first to report that. The two incidents, January 26th, Porter's number of three-pointers made prop. That prop, 0.5. He hit the under, and that's where people cashed out, because he hit the under because he didn't take a three. And so it really worked out that he didn't hit a three. And the report was that he left the game because he aggravated an eye injury from the previous game. He played 4 minutes. And I watched the tape. He walked off the floor at the end of the first quarter. He didn't look like he was injured or he aggravated anything. But he went to the bench and he went to the coaching staff and did something to his eye, pointed at his eye. There's something going on. And as Rajakovic was asked here just now, he said, I never doubt injuries. I never doubt honesty from players. Obviously, I've never had a situation like this before. So that happens. And then the prop bets are the moneymaker in the other game, in the March 20th game where he played. Again, the last couple minutes of the first quarter, that's all he played. Then he walked off the floor and never came back. And this one was because of an illness. That being said, players get suspended for betting. We've seen it in the NFL over the last few years. A lot of them have happened. And a stricter rule has been associated by the NFL. Any player who gets caught betting on NFL will face at least a 1 year suspension, 2 years if you gamble on your own team. So it's something for the NBA to monitor, obviously. Obviously, they have been monitoring. They're data scientists in every front office that talk to the NBA and discuss it with these betting companies as well. So it's bound to happen. It's bound to get worse, I assume.
What do you think about this?
Yeah, I think Taz has nailed it. It was bound to happen, but it happened pretty quickly after the league added betting to the League Pass app, you know, like the same week, basically. And maybe Jonte Porter wasn't the most obvious candidate, but if you see what tennis fans were saying yesterday, this is exactly who it's going to be.
Yeah.
Little things like this with players that nobody's really paying attention to, like a bench guy on a team that's not in the race right now. That's exactly who it's going to be. So pending the investigation, it's interesting to think about what the punishment would be for him, because you have to imagine that the league is going to come down really hard on this to send a message, because it really destroys the integrity of the game. You got that clip going around of Jonte Porter on Twitter last night banking in a three-pointer and looking disappointed after it. You got Tass going back, checking the 4 minutes he played to see what happened. And tell me you didn't think of other players when this came out and you're like, oh, I've seen some guys have a two-point game when they needed you to be the second scorer that night. Were you in the bag? That's the worst part about the entire thing. So it's going to be interesting to see what the league has to say once they've done their investigation.
Yeah, it's a good point that this is exactly, unfortunately, the type of player that would maybe try this. Again, these are allegations right now. They're doing the investigation. It could be a coincidence. It sure doesn't feel like it. But point being, two-way guy, you know, he makes a lot of money compared to the rest of us. He sure doesn't make a lot of money as a professional athlete. What does he make, like $400,000 ballpark there as a two-way guy with the Raptors? You know, you're learning a lot more about Jonte Porter here over the last, you know, 12 hours of his interests off the court, cryptocurrency, you know, going on podcasts and flipping $5,000 into $100,000. That sure doesn't look good when you're going, I want to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. What's going on here? But that's a great point. How severe, if this is found out to be true, that he was either doing this himself or he was actually doing it with someone to hit these unders, what will the punishment be? How severe will Adam Silver come down to send any sort of message? Like, will this be a lifetime ban, a year ban, two ban? I don't know. What type of termination of contract? He obviously can do that. Players are allowed to bet on sports per the NBA rules. Just not on the NBA, not on the G League, not on the WNBA. That's a violation of league policy. They can go and bet on, you know, a baseball game. They can go bet on a football game. But it is, you know, it's a weird look with all of the sports gambling that are propping up the leagues and all of the media. It feels like half the time, I mean, every second commercial is an ad for a sports gambling website. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, we'll take your money. This is great. We're all making money. But then, holy crap, if this starts happening, you got egg on your face.
Yep, a lot of egg on their face. The only, I guess, Calvin Ridley was recently suspended by the NFL for betting on games. He got suspended for a year, and then he's now back playing. But, I mean, Calvin Ridley's like a big-time receiver in the NFL. Yeah. I don't know if Jonte Porter's standing in the league will make the league come down even harder on him, you know, just because he's not necessarily a guy who is established in the NBA. We shall see.
Yeah, and it was weird after that first game. This is months ago, and this is me just loving the investigation part of things and getting into it. But after that first game, the next day, DraftKings reported that those props that didn't happen were the biggest money winner for bettors from NBA player props the night before.
Yeah.
So
that's the red flag that pops up.
Like, yeah. So why?
The second time, they're like, what?
Yeah.
it should be a red flag. The first time, it should be over the first time and figuring it out. But they let it happen again. Or it happened again. And here we go. We'll get stricter. That's obviously going to be the case.
And within that is like sort of the stupidity, the greed. I mean, that's gambling. Of maybe they would have gotten away with it. Again, if this is true, if they would have gotten away with it, if you just do it the one game. But yeah, you do it a month later, basically the exact same thing. Heavy money on a no-name player, a two-way guy to hit these unders, who then removes himself from the game under sort of weird circumstances. Like, whoa. This is a pattern here. And hence they're looking into it. So look. I guess it's good that it was caught, but unfortunately it just goes, well, how many of people have already done this? Mm-hmm. How many more will try? And what are the safeguards to catch it and prevent it? And can you? And then again, it's like you sort of, a lot of people are going to roll their eyes, but it's like, you asked for it. you made your bed, now you got to lie in it. And then you're going to maybe hurt the product and maybe hurt fans and stuff like that. We'll see. We'll learn more here, I'm sure, about Porter and whether... You know, whether he was involved and all that.
And it's positive that there's dedicated personnel from each NBA team that does their investigations. The league has a team of data scientists, and they work with a third party, that also looks into it. That being said, it did weird me out reading everything that happened in the first game. That was just a huge alert. Why did it happen again? Why was it allowed to happen again? That being said, who knows what he has done?
We will wait and find out. Next one here. CBS Sports. They wrote the headline like such. Pacers coach says free throw disparity versus the Lakers was impossible to overcome as LA pads NBA leading stat. This is Rick Carlisle. We brought it up on yesterday's show, the huge discrepancy in that Pacers-Lakers game. But we've learned more about the Lakers' trips to the free throw line. It was at Andrew D. Bailey on Twitter showing us, you know, heading into last night's games at least, just how much more the Lakers have shot at the free throw line compared to, you see the Knicks there in second, Bucks in third. Huge discrepancy. Now, this was going back to last season, including the playoffs. I saw that over the course of this season, the Lakers were leading the league in free throw attempt differential by like plus 420 that they had. The Bucks were second, nearly 200 less. Is this news, Trey Kirby, the Lakers over the last couple of years here having this huge free throw disparity?
I don't think so. I don't think it's news at all. Everybody knows the Lakers draw a lot of free throws, and I think the thing that doesn't necessarily stick out is that they don't send teams to the line all that often. It Last season, lowest opponent free throw rate. Second lowest in the playoffs. Second lowest this season. Last year, they were, had the lowest personal fouls. Fourth lowest in the playoffs. Lowest this season. LeBron and AD don't foul. Like, they famously are very good defenders who don't foul. LeBron has fouled out 6 times in his NBA career. The last time was in 2017. Anthony Davis has fouled out 4 times. He had one in November, and prior to that, it was all with the Pelicans. So defensively, they're a middle 10 defense. They don't foul that much. Mm-hmm. Those guys specifically, and then like, who's going to be fouling on the outside? D'Angelo Russell? I don't think so, Tim. So yeah, not surprising, but when you put it as total free throw points differential, it can look really bad. The Lakers played 16 games in the playoffs last year. The Magic played 0, you know?
Yeah.
The Bucks played 5, so true. That's why the total number looks like that. In reality, they're about even with these teams.
It's a very good way of describing it, because they're actually 4th per game among teams this season in terms of free throws per game. Mm-hmm. But the Bailey tweet gets you. It makes you think about it, obviously. But the postseason was huge. And in the postseason, that's where they play. They are good at that. And they are, you know, towards the bottom in terms of three-pointers attempt per game this season. So they play inside the arc. They drive it. You can say, well, the Denver Nuggets are also towards the bottom in terms of three-pointers per game. But they don't draw as many fouls. That's because Jokic's just passing that thing. Ain't driving the thing. So it's a little different. So I don't actually make much of it. I think Trey broke it down pretty well right there.
Next one here from Awful Announcing. It's a yearly headline. Maybe change the name every once in a while. But Mike Greenberg makes absurd claim that UConn could make the NBA playoffs. All right? Every year, we get one of the most dominant-looking teams in college hoops, and somebody goes on air and says, I think you put them in the Eastern Conference, they can make the playoffs. Is this news? Tass Mellis.
As you said, the headline is very similar year to year.
Yeah, oh yeah. This is a classic.
That's why it's news to me, in that, change it up. Why don't you go, well, you can make the playoffs. Do that. That's a better headline. That's why it's news to me.
You want Awful Announcing to make it a pun headline.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I remember Caron Butler kept saying it. When we worked at NBA TV, anytime we saw NBA, as anybody from NBA, from UConn do something, he would say, UConn, you can! I like it.
Mm.
In this instance, no, I don't. Okay. Come on. I mean, what is there to say? What is there to say?
Neither Jay Williams or Seth Greenberg wasted any time in sort of this argument from Greeny there. They sort of like, nah, that's bait. I'm not doing that again. We're not doing that again. Trey, what do you think about this yearly headline that the, you know, one of the better college teams could hang in the NBA?
Didn't UConn destroy Northwestern? I think that's who they beat over the weekend. And that's definitely where Mike Greenberg went to college. Okay. So I can see where he's coming from. But, to investigate a little, I looked at the ESPN mock draft to see where these UConn guys are. Sure. Donovan Klingon, mocked as the 5th pick right now. Big defensive center. Stephon Castle is the 17th pick. He's like a defensive guard. And then they got a guy whose last name is Caraban. I didn't write down his first name, but I bet it's Dodge. He's a 50th pick. Mocked as a 50th pick. So I'm like, what team is similar to that right now that has 3 rookies who would be a top 50 draft, right? Because, I mean, these guys are 21 years old, basically, who would be coming to the NBA.
Sure.
How about the Portland Trailblazers? They got the 3rd pick, Scoot Henderson. They got the 23rd pick, Chris Murray. And then they've got the 43rd pick in Ryan Rupert and the 52nd pick in Tumani Kamara. They are 19-53.
Right.
14th place in the Western Conference, and they have veterans that play for them as well. Malcolm Brogdon, I saw him play for the Blazers this season. Jeremy Grant, he's got a big-time deal. So I don't think this is true.
No.
No, I don't. I think it would be impressive if they weren't in last place in the NBA.
Yeah, that's the thing. They should tone these down and say, UConn could win a couple games in an NBA season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. You still have the issue of you have maybe 3 NBA guys versus 15 NBA guys or 12 guys that are going to play, whatever. There's that. But maybe, yeah, a game or two. No, when they go start saying they'd be in the playoffs and hosting a series, it's like, what? Come on. This is ridiculous. But then again, look at those Villanova Knicks right now.
That's right.
Wait till they had Bridges, man. They were basically going to just see it play out.
I would like, this would be a great take I would like to see. This UConn team could make the play-in tournament after they play 5 years together in the NBA.
Okay, there we go. It's a little bit better.
If we keep them together for five years, they could do it.
Okay. Just had to slip that one in there. Final one. Sports Business Journal. Adam Silver says the All-Star game may be past the point of being competitive. He talked about this on an appearance on King Charles, the TV show on CNN. I forgot this was a show.
Yeah.
With,
new?
With Gail King and Charles Barkley.
Yeah, they're sitting there. Listening to Adam Silver talk. I totally
it's
forgot
really,
that was
really
a show.
Weird watching the clip. Like, oh, yeah.
King and Charles Barkley. That's why they call it King Charles.
Yeah, that's right. That's
brilliant.
Right. And so here's what Silver said about All-Star Weekend. It was a great weekend, but it wasn't a basketball game, the All-Star game. So I think maybe, as opposed to trying to create a super competitive basketball game, which I'm not sure the teams or the players really want at the moment, we should do more fun events. He said, we're going to look at the USA versus international. I just think maybe we're past the point where we're going to play a truly competitive game. Adam Silver almost giving up here on the All-Star
almost.
Game. Almost. Well, yeah.
I guess it's not officially given up, but it feels like it. 2 months ago, he told us it was going to be competitive.
Well, yeah, that was back to basketball.
Yeah. He said, we have one last chance. We tried it. Nothing else we can do, basically.
Okay, so... Do you think USA versus international could, quote-unquote, save the All-Star game?
I don't think he was leading that at all. Charles was saying, USA versus international, that could be a different All-Star game version.
Yeah, and that'll so he do was just saying nothing. That'll do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, well, he was just... Nothing. He was just... I think he was throwing Charles a bone there. He doesn't want the USA versus international. He doesn't think that will help. He was just saying, Charles, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but we're going to have dodgeball. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. Like, we're going to change it up. We're going... NFL style, because that's what they do.
Right.
They stopped playing a competitive game, trying to play a competitive game, and they said, you know what, we make a lot of money, we don't care. To that effect. And I do buy that Adam Silver is basically done with it. I mean, he told us a few months ago that I'm not sure about the G League Ignite's future. They just went bye-bye. Mm-hmm. They've shuttered after this season. So it's interesting. It is interesting, though. I mean, the All-Star game, I think, can get competitive a little bit more. And I do agree the USA versus international. I'm not sure. That's not enough. Like, we do have enough international players for it to be good, obviously. The guys just keep winning freaking MVP after MVP and Jokic and Giannis and all that. But
yeah, it would just be a bunch of international All-Stars and a bunch of American All-Stars.
I mean,
just
work.
Like we have in the actual All-Star game.
It might work. Look at the rivalry developing between Bol Bol and Victor Wembanyama, man. People take up for Bol Bol.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
What is any reason besides the fact that he's not in an international player?
They don't want to play in this game because they don't want to get injured in an exhibition game. You know, they're tired. They want a break. This is the biggest part. All of their non-All-Stars are on a beach in a very long season, and they're looking at them on IG going, damn it, I gotta play in a meaningless game, and I don't really want to, especially don't want to get hurt, you know, most of these guys. Like, so I don't think USA versus international does anything for the All-Star game. It did nothing from what I remember from the Rising Stars game. Didn't change the dynamics of that.
Maybe go to a tournament.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, I did find it, Adam Silver. I found it odd that Adam Silver would say, they want a break. It's a long season. We'll shorten the season then.
I know.
That's obviously not happening.
I'll dare to say this was like depressing to me as a huge All-Star Big Weekend time. Fan. I was like, oh God, they lost Adam Silver. Because you're right. He was like, hey, we're going back to basketball. You know, we're getting rid of all these Elam endings and blah, blah, blah. We're just going to play. The guys are going to play. And it was like, nothing changed. It was even worse or just as bad. And now he's lost. He's like, all right, they got me. They don't want to play.
Yeah, I do think, yes, he is a little bit just tired of watching it year after year. They tried to. They went up to the Players Association and said, we want you guys to play. I will say, though, thinking about the international part, Giannis Antetokounmpo was trying on defense at times in this game. Speaking specifically an international player, there isn't, it's not that far a difference. I know it looks like, whoa, these guys can shoot from center court and they're not playing defense, but they just tried in the fourth quarter a little bit over the years. Like, it ain't that far, I don't think.
Right.
I think you try it again. Try to get the players freaking motivated to play a little defense. Because, again, Giannis was bodying a guy at the three-point line. It was one possession. Every possession. That's not enough.
Okay, Adam Silver basically pleaded with them to play hard this year.
He said Joe Dumars in.
Yeah,
they didn't.
Joe Dumars called them and said, come on, come on.
They didn't. So now what? Now you either have to make it a monetary thing, which feels crazy for guys making, you know, $40, $50 million. I guess everyone wants more money. I've... you know, kicked around the idea of like, these guys want vacation, play for vacation, play for a break, winning team, you're off, man. Hit the beach for 5 days, like get like something that'll actually get them, you know, wanting to play a little bit hard, or yeah, just get rid of it. And that's where Silver seems to be leaning. And maybe it's the right answer. Maybe it is just going really fun with weird, like, I don't know what you would do. Anything, I guess. Pop a shot games and
rock and jock style.
Yeah, yeah. Just go crazy with it.
See what Dan Cortez is up to. But man, like, people want to cancel the dunk contest. People want to cancel the All-Star game. All we got is Arnie Duncan shooting hook shots in the celebrity game.
I think we're the only ones that can save All-Star Weekend at this point. Get us back out there.
Might be.
Quite sad. I thought that interview. Good to see King Charles, though, the television show. Because I remember, like, the lead-up. I remember, like,
oh, really?
They're going to... Yeah, we talked about it. Like, Gayle King and Charles Barkley on CNN talking about the big topics.
The issues.
Yeah, the issues. We're going to start a conversation.
I do like a little All-Star talk a month after All-Star, because usually it's like we complain about it for 2 weeks and then it's gone until next February. Way to keep a dialogue going, Charles.
Oh, God.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night comes from Dom_2K, a YouTube streamer just like these fellows. Dom tweeted, starting five of the exact same NBA highlight clips that get recycled at the same time every year. Started a list. Number one, Derrick Rose's three dunks against the Heat. I'll always watch
that one.
That's
a good one.
Number two, Jason Williams' passing highlight tape. I will always watch that one. Yep. And then three, four, and five are for you to fill in. So what's an NBA highlight clip that always gets recycled? And I will say in a good way that you're excited to see time and time again.
Okay, some obvious ones, you know, of the dunk compilations. Vince Carter.
Yeah, baby.
Anytime you're showing, especially young Raptors days. Well, I mean, he had some bangers with the Nets as well, don't get me wrong. Any VC dunk compilation. Same goes for Sean Kemp. Same goes for Blake Griffin. I'm watching it every single time. I'm like, oh, yeah, those are great dunks.
Yeah, I've really actually liked seeing the Blake Griffin ones go around since Anthony Edwards had his dunk. And right. People are saying, oh, you're young if you don't remember Blake Griffin's poster collection. It wasn't that long ago, man.
Yeah, the good thing about Blake is anytime a big thrunk happens, the old dunk, you get those Blake classics. Mm-hmm. I'll add Steph Curry's half-court shot versus the Thunder.
Double bang. Oh, yeah.
Double bang from Breen. That's... You know, that always is making the rounds, and rightfully so. And then this is a bit more of a joke one, but shirtless Ben Simmons jumpers during the offseason. I get very excited every time. It's now a great bit, I believe, he's leaning into, and I'm excited for it later this summer when shirt's off in a smaller gym, and he's just cashing threes and jumpers on the break, man.
Great one.
And I will be... Yeah. Proudly there on the island going, yeah, buddy, this is the year.
Looking good.
Looking good, Ben.
Strokes nice.
I'm convinced he'd kill the NBA if they'd let him play with no shirt on. It's holding him back. That's me. I think it's got something to do with his back. Too much weight. Too much weight on the back.
Ah, my jersey is too heavy.
those are mine. What do you got?
Those are great ones. I just watched a few of them just this last week, like the Sean Kemp.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, that's coming through. Embarrassing somebody and dunk and pointing in his face. That's been a while. Haven't seen that in 12 months. I would say the Steph one, great shot from half court. I always love the dribble through four Clippers.
Oh yeah,
like through Spencer Hawes over Chris Paul, just back. Step back 3-point shot. That's beautiful stuff. Vince Carter over Frederick Weiss. I don't think we see enough, maybe because we don't have the rights to Olympic games, but he was literally dumping over people. That was hard to do way back in the day. That was astonishing to me. So those are the ones that stand out to me, but there's a ton. It really is a ton.
Yeah, some good answers from the stream team. Ziggy says the Shaq and Kobe duo clip package that like starts with their feet. That one is just a meme in and of itself at this point. You already know Russell Westbrook's scoop shot against the Lakers. Remember where he shoots it from like 20 feet, basically, banks it in. That's a good one. Sean Kemp dunks, of course. Baron Davis highlights.
Ooh.
The Rex Chapman shot where he just throws it and somehow goes in. The Valley Oop. Some good stuff. I would also throw in Linsanity, like starting end of January, end of February, that time of year. Those are fun ones to watch.
Great, great tweet there from Dom. Let's hear your answers. Continue to drop them in the stream team. Drop them in the comments. Tweet at us. At No Dunks Inc. Before we go, highly recommend you check out the latest Is This Good podcast with Rod Benson. Yeah, we had Rod on a recent No Dunks episode to talk about his new book, Different Dude, which is great, by the way. Go check that out. But Rod was on with Matty O and JD going through a number of topics, including confronting noisy neighbors. Do you do it or not? It's always a tough one, man. I've always struggled with that one, too. You know, living in, like, apartments and condos. And I've done it once. I did it once. Someone was playing Rock Band. Goddamn Rock Band for like the fourth week in a row, like that weekend, it was four consecutive weekends, and I was just over it. And they were shitty at it too. Like, I'm like, you're not
the
even...
solo for Carry On My Wayward Son is pretty tough.
Well, it was the drum setup too, and they were bad.
And that's the worst.
I went down, I gave a knock on the door, I said, hey, rock on, man, but it's getting a little much.
Rock on, man.
But I'm guilty. I know we had the Rock Band sessions.
That's
back sure.
That's why I've never complained to a noisy neighbor, because I know I'm being noisier than they are usually.
Yeah, that's...
At least back in the apartment days.
Yeah. So anyway, check out that ITG with Rod Benson that is in... up on YouTube and wherever you download and listen to. Is this good? Okay, four games on tonight. Warriors Heat, Lakers Bucks, Thunder Pelicans, Mavericks Kings. Did you hear that schedule? That's pretty good. A couple of those on TNT.
Is LeBron playing?
He's doubtful.
Doubtful.
Doubtful, doubtful. So that hurts a bit.
That's, but solid schedule. Yeah.
Some big games, big teams, and some must sort of wins for some of these teams. So anyway, we'll be talking about those tomorrow. Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bro.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, some great old plays that Trey just went through. I went through some old sayings after you mentioned Rod Benson, that he was in there like swimwear. He always used to say
boom,
that.
Boom, though.
That's good.
That's a great saying. I'm in there like swimwear.
That's true.
That's a great saying. Thanks. Thanks for reminding me of that, Rod. Don't call me Rob, because I just called you Rob.
Embrace the day, people. You're calling everybody different today.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.